Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Well, an evil imam attacked Jeff Sessions. I want to know who this evil imam thinks he is. He calls Senator Jeff Sessions an evil incarnated. Evil incarnated. Now, we don't know who this imam is. We know this. He has a name, Al-Siddiqui. We don't know where he came from. We don't know what country he's from. But we do know that he does interfaith experiences, working with Jews, Christians, Catholics, Mormons, Quakers, Buddhists, Sikhs, and other faiths in the area of community service. But it didn't stop this loudmouth foreigner from attacking Jeff Sessions before Jeff Sessions even began his work as Attorney General. The question is, why are Muslims so afraid of Jeff Sessions? What has Jeff Sessions actually done? Do you even know who Jeff Sessions is? I would imagine anyone in New York listening in the car turned the show off already. In San Francisco, the show is over already. They rather listen to the NFL. I don't understand people in this country, how dumb they are. I figure the election's over. What do they care? Raining like crazy out here on the West Coast. We had a break last night, so I walked over to a neighborhood pub. It used to be an upscale place, and then some chain from San Francisco bought it called Perry's. Like a small chain. They turned it into a sports bar. I never heard anything like this. They're watching a screen and men with suits on throwing things, and every once in a while the crowd would erupt into screaming and yelling over something. I gulped my beer down and fled into the rain. I guess I am not an American. I just don't have the blessings to know what it is to be an American anymore. How could you eat around that? You don't care about the Muslim attacking Jeff Sessions. I know that. I can tell you right off the bat it's a dead topic. So we'll go on. I have another one that I was going to do. Obama says, don't blame me for the Democrats' demise. Once again, the party animal's in denial. Yeah, he's in denial again. He did an interview over the weekend with George Stink on All of Us. And Stink on All of Us from ABC said the Democratic Party got pretty hollowed out on your watch, about 1,000 seats lost in the Congress, Senate, Governor, State Houses. And then he asked, is that on you, said Stink on All of Us. Now, of course, it's a good question, because since the great O took office, they lost 900 seats in state legislatures, 12 governorships, 69 House seats, and 13 Senate seats. So Obama thinks he didn't do it. He tried to blame who? President Bush. Of course, that didn't work. Instead, he switched the gears again. And he was asked why he didn't go out on the road to help his fellow Democrats. And he said, my docket was really full here. So I can't be both chief organizer of the Democratic Party and function as commander-in-chief. He did a great job on that. And president of the United States. Of course, George Stink on All of Us didn't say anything. Because despite this full docket that the party animal allegedly had, he squeezed in 217 days of vacation. He did 450 fundraisers and 300 rounds of golf. Next case, let's move on. You don't care. But I can tell you, I have a feedback mechanism. You don't care about that either. Because he's not president anymore. We know he's doing everything he can to upset Trump's chance of succeeding. We know all of that. We know what a stinker he is. What an evil lout he really has been his whole life. And but it's an old story. So, yeah, well, why talk about it? Well, I'll tell you what I want to talk about, and I'm trying reluctantly not to talk about it. I mean, I'm trying not to talk about what I want to talk about. Can I talk about what I really want to talk about? Because there's a rule in talk radio, I've told it to you numerous times. If the host talks about what's really interesting to him, the audience will get excited and really get excited and get involved. But if you're just calling it in and reading headlines, or reading from your books, no one really cares. You know, you'll get your normal one share, one and a half share, that's about it. But you want to move that needle, you know how you do it? You get involved with what you're really involved with in your life. And I'm reluctant to do it because I don't want to lose my power. So I don't think I will right now. Some very special thing has occurred in my life. I'm holding it in my hand. Well, I'll do it in a roundabout way. I'm holding an amulet. an amulet. You know what an amulet is? Christians turn the show off immediately just now because they don't believe in amulets. They think it's anti-God. But what they don't understand is some amulets bring you closer to God, not farther away from God. I mean, for years, Catholics had on their dashboards the Saint something figure on it, the plastic, I don't know what it was. What was that on the dashboards, Robert? You come from that background. You know, Jim, you're older. You know what it was, those plastic things. No one knows. No one knows anything anymore. What were the plastic things on dashboards that Catholics drove around with? Then they changed them into feathers and things hanging. You couldn't even see out of the windshield. They switched them from Saint this to like feathers hanging from the mirror. I don't know how they didn't pull them over. You get into an accident with a feather. Oh, dream catchers. When America went from the saint, what was the saint? Will someone tell me already? Two guys don't. Look, I don't know. They shouldn't know either. I'm not holding them responsible. What was it that Catholics had on their dashboards and Dodge Plymouths for years? Dodge Darts and Plymouths for years on their dashboards. Little plastic things. They were not Jesus things. They were a saint, something or other. Not a Catholic. It was not the Virgin Mary. You're making it up. Okay, there's no Catholics in the audience. I've lost all my Catholics because I've exposed the Pope for what he is, Lenin's Pope. Okay. Anyway, for years, Catholics in America had little statues in their cars, little plastic statues. And then they gave way to dream catchers. That was the end of America, as far as I knew it. I got one Schmendra calling on line one. But no, I don't mind if you got, that's great, tell me what it was. It was a statue of what, Saint who? Saint Schmendrick? He was not Saint Patrick. Who was it? Saint Schmendrick, I think. Well, we don't have that anymore. So you say, like, what's an effigy? Well, there was an icon effigy thing that the Catholics had. It didn't make them less Catholic, did it? Well, what if you wear a cross? If you wear a cross, is that not a sort of amulet that you're wearing? A protection against evil? It is! Bingo. Thank you, Bob. I needed one caller from New York who remembers America. Thank you, Bob. I wish I had a gift to give you, a St. Christopher medal. 100 people called. It was just testing. Testing here, because it's hard to know. You know, you sit alone in a room, in a rainstorm, you got a microphone, you got a 8 screens staring at you, a loyal dog sleeping under your foot, ready to bite your technician who's going to come in and adjust wires during the break, rip his toes off. And what I'm getting at is something somewhat related to the St. Christopher medal. Thank you. All you St. Christopher scholars, God bless you. No, really, thank you. I'm not kidding. It was. I used sarcasm to move you. That was the only way to get you to respond. Okay, I wasn't putting down St. Christopher. But when America had people driving around in Plymouth darts, whatever, big American cars in the 70s, you had St. Christopher medals all over America. Right? The little statues. All of a sudden, I wake up, and in the 90s, there's dream catchers hanging off the mirrors. Every girl in the Bay Area with chlamydia was driving around with a dream catcher, hoping that the dream catcher would cure her of her illness. It didn't work, though. The dream catchers didn't work. Now, do I have your attention? Yes or no? Raise your hand if you know where I'm going, because you don't know where I'm going. I'll tell you where I'm going. Are you ready? It's a great story. I swear to you, it's a great story. I don't know if I should do it, though. I'm teasing the audience a little bit. You can hear it tingling in my hand. Okay, here it is. All right, so I'm in a location that I haven't been in years. I used to live and work in this house. For 16 years, I did radio shows out of this home. When I was a local host, it took me years to get the local station to permit me to do a remote broadcast out of my house. I had to argue and beg them for years to let me put in a home studio. Then when I did, I wound up more isolated than I ever had been in my whole life. And I dreamed of being back at the radio station. Because there's something about, like, the stink of the garbage can in the studios, the stink of perfume that people would leave there where you could go blind from it. There was one woman who left the stench in there. We tried everything. Lysol, sprays, fans. I told him I will not work in that studio if that woman precedes me in there. Well, luckily that ended, but one of the reasons I like a home studio is, like, I'm a germophobic person. Number two, I never get the flu in here. It's me and the dog. He doesn't have the flu. So I'm back at the studio, as I was saying, in this long, rambling monologue that I'm about to give you. I don't even know what time it is. All right, so I'm going through it. The house has been renovated, gutted, down to the studs, as the White House will be soon after Obama's gone. And naturally, things were left here. You know, paintings, pictures, photographs, and the curtains. And I went through one area where I found stuff that I had long forgotten. Last night now, Last night, I'm staying here in the rain. I wanted to be away from the bay. It was too, whatever, noisy, the pounding, crashing surf, wet, wild. I pick up something. It's ivory, and it's inscribed in Hebrew. And the back is like a cheap sort of metal, like a silver. And there's like thing, like tingling things hanging from it. And I know it's an amulet from the Middle East. I think I bought it in Israel 30 years ago. I bought two of them, as a matter of fact. I don't even know what was on it. I remember when my mother was alive, God rest her soul, she never really related to anything I did in my whole life. For some weird reason that I'll never understand until today, I actually found out today what it is, she looked at that item and she said, "That's very interesting that you brought that back from Israel. What is it?" And she touched it and I saw something, some electricity go through her. Well, okay, I forgot it. You know, I forgot it. I put it aside. I left it in a box. So last night, I'm here, raining, after the pub, I come back, and I rip a muscle in my neck. I, like a schmuck, I had hurt my neck years ago. The masseuse almost destroyed my neck. I never let that woman near me again, a monster. When I relaxed, she pressed the nerve. For 3 years, I had pain in the right side of my head. She should only be cursed forever, what she did to me. I hope she's cursed in every joint of her body forever. A monster woman. All right, so I got over that. Then I hurt the other side of my neck. I found da-da-da-da-da. So I come to this house. There's an exercise machine, which I hate exercise machines. I hate them. They're inhuman. All I do is like natural exercise, like push-ups, sit-ups, this and that, bicycling. But for some weird reason, I wanted to get in shape again. And so I started pulling down on the pull-down bar. I must have ripped the muscle again. It was killing, excruciating. I wouldn't even take an aspirin for it. I'm stoical when it comes to that kind of pain. I just don't want to start in. All right. So then I said to myself, wait a minute. Hold on. Hold on now. I'm getting off track again. I'm not doing a live read now. I'll do it when I come back. I refuse to do it any reads now. So I rip my neck on the exercise machine, and I look at the amulet, and I say, wait a minute. Hold it now. I hold it in my hand, and I say to myself, I don't believe in magic, but I believe in God. And then I did something with the amulet, which I'm going to tell you about. Then I'm going to ask you a bigger question, which is this. Everyone out there. And it's a tough question because it could be misconstrued. Do you believe in the power of amulets of any kind in your life? Whether it be a cross, it's an amulet. A cross is an amulet when you think about that. A Jewish star is an amulet, isn't it? Anything you're wearing on your neck is an amulet of some kind. Do you believe it has power? I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Well, we're going to get back to the news of the day and the whole question of amulets in about a minute, but I've got to tell you once again about a great advertiser, which is that Chamonix. You know them? They're having their Esotique XV inventory clearance sale, and if you want to look 15 or 20 years younger, pick up the phone now and order Esotique XV. The results are amazing. Here's Donna from Kingsville, Maryland. I love Chamonix products. They absorb nicely without residue, and I look at least 10 years younger than women my age, she says. You see, Esotique XV is better than anything you can find in department stores because it has plant stem cells, natural peptides, hyaluronic acid, and flower extracts. Clean absorption, maximum results, brilliant, effective, fast. And if you order Esotique XV, you get Genucel for bags and puffiness and the legendary deep firming serum absolutely free. Call 800-SKIN-891. 800-SKIN-891. If you call now, shipping will be free. So that's three free gifts for trying Esotique XV today. You're going to be amazed at what? Money back. Wait, this offer won't be around forever. Call 800-SKIN-891, 800-SKIN-891, or go to www.xvbeauty.com. That's 800-SKIN-891. I want to go back now to my story. So I find this amulet from the Holy Land that I must have bought in 1978. I don't even remember where I was. I think I bought it from a Yemenite peddler in a marketplace in Jerusalem. I bought two of them. And as I say, my mother noted it. She was not into religion that much at all. I know that there's some kind of mystical streak in my family line on her side somewhere. You know how some of you know that your mother, well, let's put it this way. Some of you, many of you women, who have sort of clairvoyant abilities, you can see things others can't see, or you know you do, you call it whatever you want. You can say, like, oh, it's this, that. What is it? What gives you that extra power of seeing? Where did it come from? Well, it's inherent. It's genetic, okay? You inherited it, usually on your mother's line, but not always. And you can call it anything you want. If you work on a dark side, it's called witchcraft. If you work on the good side, it's not called witchcraft, right? So amulets of any kind can be put to good or to evil. Now, many of you are skeptical and very, you know, rational people who don't believe in any of this crap. You say it's nonsense. Do any of you carry anything around with you for good luck? You carry anything on an airplane? Did any of you carry anything into battle that you think protected you? That's what I'm talking about. Okay? Now, listen to me carefully. Because the story I'm about to tell you is a true story. I have the amulet. I didn't know what it said. It's hand-scrawled in Hebrew. I don't read Hebrew. I couldn't read it anyway. It's been a long time. I read Hebrew for 2 years of my life when I was a young boy. I called a rabbi I know, Rabbi Mendy Cohen in Sacramento. He's a wonderful man. And he was so excited to hear from me, and I said, I'm going to email you the picture. Well, I did. He started screaming on the phone, Michael, 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 he said, my grandmother used to say this to me. I can't believe you're sending this to me. Does that amulet have a fish on it? I said, yes. He said, Michael, he said, you don't believe what you're saying to me. I don't believe what you're saying to me. Well, this is the rabbi that was mentioned by a very famous American actor during a fundraiser. I'm going to tell you more about this story in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
For reasons only I understand, because the number 16 kept coming up in my mind last night after this amulet story. Listen to me very carefully. For many years, I was into herbal medicine. You know that. Okay, for many years, I wrote books on healing. I was only in clinical practice as a healer for a few years. I did it for a few years after my doctorate, 78 to about 80, 81. It was not my... I wasn't ready for it. If I get sick, I only go to medical doctors. That's what I use. I mean, I try to heal myself to avoid the need for modern medicine, but that's the only medicine I use is modern medicine. I mean, obviously, I take tons of the right vitamins and whatnot, and I use herbal medicine when I need to. But I've always known, since I've been a young man, that I have healing powers. Some of us have it, some of us don't. I don't mean clinical or technical. I'm talking about actual physical, spiritual healing powers, which some of us have. Now, I have reluctantly avoided this part of my being forever for a number of reasons. I don't want to wind up being accused of or becoming a fake guru. Let me be very clear about that. You know, you could easily take your own Kool-Aid here, and you could wind up on a ranch in Antelope, Oregon, with 25 Rolls Royces and 50 women, and then have to flee the state and wind up in Oregon, and worse than Oregon, in Denmark. So I got to be very careful of my own strengths and powers. You know and I know. You know and I know that in this world, but for the grace of God, you or I, for a slight quirk, you could have wound up a homeless person in the gutter, other than who you are. Am I wrong or right? I mean, what, you think that everything that you have in your life, all the blessings that you have, are there only because of yourself? It's because of God's power and will. Did you hear what I said to you? I know that for a fact. I've known it all my life. So what I'm saying to you is, from my perspective, the same is true in reverse. The poor, unfortunate person in the street could be you. It's a matter of chance. Things happen to people. So rather than going into what makes a person down on their luck or something goes wrong in their life or something happens to them, why they get cancer, why the child get this, I can't go into that. I have no knowledge about any of that. So I want to go back to my story on this rainy day on the Savage Nation, because this is the kind of show I did for the first 5 years of my career. It's the show I'm going to do for the last 5 years of my career, which is the show, you know, One from the Heart. I mean, I know about politics, big deal, okay? I never was obsessed with it that much. So I'll do what's interesting to me. So today I'm talking about the amulet I found, right? The two amulets I bought, Israel, 1970s, put them aside, paid no attention to them. I find it last night. I'd pulled a muscle on my neck. It was killing me. So I picked it up, and I said, I know this thing has power. I put it on my neck, and I said, I don't believe in magic, but I believe in God. I don't believe in magic, but I believe in God. And I stayed there in bed, holding it to the muscle that was ripped. And I will have to tell you, from the bottom of my heart, the pain subsided within 3 to 4 minutes. Pain came back this morning. Again, so you know, it's mind over matter. Don't be stupid. Come on, you're a man of science. Don't be a schmendrick. What do you believe in that for? But I made a decision last night that I'm going to keep trying this thing on people who are sick that I know in my own life. I can feel the heat right now. I just put it on my neck. I can feel the whole heat of my body in this thing. I know this has tremendous power. This is a secret thing, man. And I made a decision that I'm going to use this thing with people who I know in my own circle who are sick. If I can cure one, I can cure a lot of people. And I'm going to tell you right now, if it happens, you'll be the first to know. Why am I telling you this? I'll tell you what. I always felt that in 2016, something remarkable would occur in my life for the betterment of myself and humanity, for the betterment of mankind. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know what form it was going to take. It certainly did not take the form of me becoming a bureaucrat working for Donald Trump. I wouldn't have lasted 3 hours. If Trump had called and said, I want you to run this agency or that, and I was foolish enough to say yes, and I had made the mistake and moved to Washington, I wouldn't have lasted one day. I would have jumped into the Potomac River probably after 4 hours. I am not a bureaucrat. I don't know how to deal with people on that level. That's not who I am. So, what is an amulet? Do you have one? An amulet is an object which has the characteristic or power to protect its owner from danger or harm. Now, an amulet is different from a talisman, which is thought to bring luck or some other benefit. These are not to be confused with pendants that you may hang from a necklace. Think about the two differences here, amulet and talisman. Remember when you were a kid, you might have had a rabbit's foot, a synthetic rabbit's foot? I remember carrying it to school with me. It was probably not made of a rabbit's foot. I'm sure it wasn't. It was like synthetic fur. I don't know why I carried it. I like rubbing the fur in the school, you know, holding it in my hand. So to make this story come to a conclusion, ladies and gentlemen of the Savage Nation, let me go back to this little item I bought in Israel in 1978, or 77, 78, 79, first and last times I was there. No, I was there one time after that. But not for a long time have I gone back to the Holy Land. And I know these are Yemenite amulets. I can tell you by the design of the jewelry and what's on the little hanging tinklets. Now, you never see Jews in America with this. They're modern Jews. They don't believe in any of this stuff. I don't know what they believe in. But that's their business. Each person's different. So I call up the Rabbi Mendy Cohen, who I met only once in my life, when I asked someone to tell me who was a... What did I say? I need to meet some rabbis who are into mysticism. And this was a year and a half or 2 years ago. A year ago, 2 years ago, I told him some problems I was having in my life. And I asked him to do something for me. And he said, no, Michael. He said, you're so powerful. He said, you're the rabbi. He said, you have to do it for yourself. He said, you speak to God. He said, you speak to him. I called him today. He was so excited to hear from me. And he said to me, Michael, listen to what it says. It's the blessing of Joseph. It says, you are my son, and the evil eye cannot hurt you. You are like the fish, and no evil eye can get to you. If you believe in God, no evil eye can touch you. When you get conceited, the evil eye can touch you. So he said, tell all your listeners today that if they have had luck in their life, and they are rich people, or they're wealthy, or they're doing well, to watch out for conceit. Because the minute they are filled with conceit, the evil eye will touch them. He said, this is the most important thing that I have to tell you, because it happens to be what you told me today, what that amulet is by coincidence, Michael, the exact weekly portion of the Torah to Jewish people. Passage 49:22. Blessings of Joseph. Don't flaunt your wealth, or people will be jealous of you. You are my son, and the evil eye cannot hurt you. You are like the fish, and no evil eye can get you. So you say, what does it mean? Many of you are cynical. I grew up with cynics. My father was a cynic. He didn't believe in God. Most of my family was cynical. Rationalists, They believed only in self-will and in doing things on their own, and bad things happen to people, and that's the way they lived. And they took what came, and that was the end of it. They didn't walk around with trinkets hanging from their neck. I'm different, though. I was always different. I was always different than everyone in my family. Better? I didn't say better. Worse? I didn't say worse. I said different. So at a certain point in your life, whether you're me or you, you have to say, this is who I am. I'm not going to change. This is how I am. This is what I am. This is what I am. This is how I am. Don't try to make me into what I am not. Say it to your mother. Say it to your father. Say it to yourself. Don't change yourself. I know that I have certain powers in certain areas that others in my family do not have. And I want to ask you, in your family, in your life, do you believe in any of this? Do you have an amulet in your life? Does it work for you? Paul on WABC in New York, line 8. Answer the question, Paul. What are you saying?
I'm saying I have a solid gold rosary bead that I've had for the last 5 years now, and I don't know if it costs $200 or $2,000. I own a business on Arthur Avenue. A customer had given it to me. We've kind to each other over the years, and I had a really, really screwed up a bunch of years before this, and nothing but good has happened to me since I put this rosary bead on. I mean,
bingo. So wait, this is so important. Arthur Avenue is the Italian district in the Bronx. Isn't that correct?
Yes, sir.
And it's still predominantly an old line, Sopranos-like area in the Bronx, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I mean, you could say that. Hence some of the troubles we have over here.
Okay, well, you know where I'm coming from. Okay, so Satriali's you don't have with the meat market, but okay, I get what you're saying. Old world is still there. There's a foot in the old world in that area. Who gave it to you, Paul? Who gave you this crucifix?
One of my customers, he came in, and I was kind to him and his wife over the years, and they actually put a second mortgage on their home, and they took whatever money they had, and they gave me a gift, and it was a clue. I didn't ask them how much it was, but I broke it one time, and I didn't wear it for a week, and I had a really bad week. So every time I break it, I bring it right to the jeweler, and he says, why do you keep fixing this? I said, I don't want to know how much it costs. It's just my thing. And I wear it, and I never take it off. I work out in it.
So you can relate to what I'm saying. You're probably a devout Catholic, correct?
I'm not a devout anything. I mean, I believe in everything, Christianity, spirituality. There's good and bad in everything, but yes, I believe in God. I believe in spirituality, of course.
So what do you think this amulet has for you that you won't take it off your chest?
I think it surrounds me. I mean, I don't want to get all weird about it, but I think it surrounds me with like Israel, like surrounded by the fire armor of God, like or the Holy Spirit. Nothing could touch me.
No, get weird. Get weird on the radio right now. Get as weird as you ever been in your life. What do you feel when you have it on, and what do you not feel when it's off?
What I feel when I have it on is like a spirit of fire, you know, like a fire armor around me, like an armor of the Holy Spirit around me. If I have it off, I feel naked, very vulnerable. I feel
astounding. Astounding. You know, Paul, I could not have asked for a better response to what I did today. I started with politics, and then I had to go to what I was really thinking about, what really is in my life right now, and it touched you. I mean, in a strange way, we don't know each other, but here I reached you across these thousands of miles through the miracle of radio. Isn't that amazing?
I tell you, I listen to you every day. When you're not on, I want to jump off the bridge, but, I mean, you are great, man, and I'm very successful, and you could be successful and not be conceited and not flaunt your wealth and believe in spirituality. It's actually the best thing you can do. And this is one of the best shows you put on, and I listen to you for years now, and every day. I mean, so this is one of the best I've ever heard.
Unbelievable. Well, I wish we could stay in touch, and I hope we can on the air, Paul. Thank you very much. So maybe my voice and maybe my show, to those who listen in a devoted manner to this show every day, and I know many do, my voice is a sort of protection for these people. They feel protected, not because I'm a prophet, not because God is speaking through me, but they hear something in my voice on the radio that makes them feel something. How many people can say the same about others in the media? And I am comparing myself to others in the media. They're very smart people in the media. They're very good people in the media. How many of you feel as connected to others as you do to me? Don't call me on it because, I mean, it's self-congratulatory and self-serving, but I'm asking a question because it has an answer built into it. I've come to some new conclusions for January 2017 about my radio show, which I'm not going to even tell you, because what I'm doing today is one of the conclusions I've come to, one of the places I've gone to, and one of the places I've always been, and one of the places that you've always been with me if you've been a listener to this show. And I'm so glad that I took this chance. The only fear I had in reading this to you today, what the rabbi told me about this amulet, is that I didn't want to give up the power of this thing by talking about it. And the only way I can hold on to the power of this amulet, if it truly does bring God to me in a more intimate manner, is to not use it for evil. You hear what I'm saying to you? See, you can use an amulet for good and for evil, right? You can say, well, this thing has power, it can bring God to me. Or you can use it, and you could use it in a negative way, right? Okay. Now, many of you think this is such garbage, you're sick of it. You say, come on, cut it out, let's get back to the Jeff Sessions hearings. I'm not interested in it. What am I going to do? I mean, a Muslim imam attacks Jeff Sessions, calling him evil incarnated. Well, that tells you more about Muslim imams than it does about Jeff Sessions. Listen to this self-righous fraud in clip one. Okay, here
it is. We are not going to hide.
We are not moving to Canada.
We stand our ground.
And fight.
For justice
and equal rights. Senator Jeff Sessions,
He is not good for the nation.
And I'm telling you my personal experience. I have met him. I talked with him, his pastor. He is an evil incarnated.
Ooh.
And I say it again. Senator Jeff Sessions.
He is no good for the nation.
Stand up and fight. Every step of the way.
All right, listen, you third world. Listen to me carefully, you loudmouth fraud, you. I am demanding right now that the FBI investigate this Muslim imam. We have his name, Ali Siddiqui. And I want you, the new government of the United States of America, to immediately pull his 501c3 status and rip away the protections that this individual has in our country, because what he has just done here in stepping into the world of politics from his pulpit, brainwashing the Muslim sheeple in his audience there, is violate all the tenets of the nonprofit corporation that is afforded religious organizations. Ali Siddiqui must be investigated immediately by the new Trump administration. And if he has, in fact, done what I just heard him do, violate the separation of church and state that is called for, meaning do not engage in politics in your religious organization or you'll have your 501c3 status taken away from you, imam. You're saying you're not going to hide, you're not going to fight, you're not going to move to Canada, and you're telling the people that he's no good. What you've just done is read a fatwa on him. Well, I can read between the lines, Siddiqui. You just pulled a fatwa on Jeff Sessions, and you've asked people to harm him. That's what you just did. Don't think all of us infidels are stupid. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. A Muslim imam calls Senator Jeff Sessions evil incarnated. He violated the protocols of the nonprofit. I want the government to investigate him and pull his charter, pull his nonprofit status. We're also talking about the power of amulets. If you have an amulet, does it work? Right here on the Savage Nation.
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
I used to like to talk to the Krishna people with the shave. Remember that hot era in the 70s? They wore the robes, they danced, they had a nice time. Who knew what they were doing? What did I know? I was never a Christianite. I never got pulled into it. You know, but this is the thing about the world. What, 5.5 billion people? 6 billion people? I don't know how many there are. So there's about 1 billion Catholics, 1 billion Christians, about 1 billion Muslims. And then you got the Hindus, what, 700 million Hindus, 800 million Hindus. Jews, small number, in the millions. Buddhists, hundreds of millions of people are Buddhists. How can you define a way for all people to live their life? There's only one way for people to live their life. One. I'll define it for you. I'll be the guru of gurus. You ready? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It's that simple. Works for all religions except one. Only one religion doesn't follow that tenet. They have do others before they do you and make sure they don't do you. That's all. And Chaim Yankel. There's only one religion that teaches hatred and killing and murdering. Only one. Only one on the whole earth teaches hate, killing, and murder. Every other religion teaches do kindness. And this president brings them in. So, in the last hour, we played a Muslim imam calling Senator Jeff Sessions evil incarnated. That's Ali Siddiqui. And we don't know where he's from. I can't find his particular place of worship. But he was doing this in front of a crowd that was chanting like the sheeple that they are when he was said, Sessions is no good. We're going to fight for justice. He's not good for the nation. Equal rights. And all of the, you know, rubbish that we've heard from the Al Sharpton years. Now, he's entitled to his opinion, don't get me wrong. But if you do that while you are preaching in a church or a synagogue or a temple of any kind, you lose your non-profit status, old imami. You should lose your non-profit status if you did that in a house of worship that enjoys a tax-free status. My loyal sponsor, Craig Smith of Swiss America, the gold company, said your amulet experience is awesome. The reason you gave it away to your audience, in my opinion, is because anything you can't let go of, you don't own it. It owns you. Michael, you are a free, unencumbered person with a very free spirit. Therefore, your generosity gives it away. Therefore, you keep it without coveting it. You respect it. That is why, in my opinion, it has the power it does. That's interesting. Because I really was torn over whether to even tell you that story, but I'm not going to repeat it. I can't do this every day. Like, do 1 hour, then repeat hour two, and go bring you. Sorry. It's like you came into the class late. I can't help you. If you can't get to the class on time, all you can do is try to catch up with those people who were able to come on time. That's all. But I am asking a loaded question, which is you. Have amulets played any role in your life? Do you believe that amulets have any power? Many of you don't. Many of you think it's garbage. I know many people are very hard-headed. They don't believe in anything. They believe only in themselves and their self-will. All right, good. Get back to me when you're an old man dying of cancer somewhere. And I hope it doesn't happen. When the muscles have faded, the tattoos are just a blur on your biceps. Tell me what you believe in. This is what I'm saying. You know, at the end of the road, it waits for all of us. God waits for all of us at the end of that road. And you know, the thing is, what are you going to believe in then? You know, I know the old statement, yeah. You know, there's no such thing as an atheist in a foxhole. We've all heard that. How many atheists are there in a cancer ward? Are there any oncologists out there who can answer that question? No, I'd love to hear from an oncologist on that one. That would be a great question. I mean, I don't know. If you're an oncologist, are there any atheists in an oncology ward? This is a tough one. It's like Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers. Are there any atheists in an oncology ward? That's pretty good. There's no such thing as an oncology award. I guess there is if you're a good scientist. But if you are a doctor in an oncology ward, are there any atheists in that ward dying of cancer? I don't know. Maybe there are. Maybe people are tough right to the end. They don't care. They don't believe in them. They're all Vikings. Everyone's a Viking all of a sudden. So if you want to talk on that, go ahead, because we could do the other stuff. I have other stuff, good stuff. 7 pages of sound. Poor guys. I worked them like a dog today with a whip from five in the morning. But now, one of the reasons, going back to politics, that this imam fears Jeff Sessions, who they can't stop, by the way. It's done. He's veto-proof. Thanks to the evil Democrats who went around Congress with their little tricks, it's coming back to haunt them. Remember the old saying? They'll be hung by their own petard? Well, they're being hung by their own Obama. They're being hung by their own Obama right now because they used every trick in the book to let him use a fountain pen and a pad or whatever, or a BlackBerry to get around Congress. They don't need 60. There used to be a 60 votes you needed to break a thing. No more. Now it's 51. So in other words, what they did, what goes around comes around. So one of the reasons this Muslim imam hates Senator Sessions is because he's tough on the terrorists. Here is Jeff Sessions today, fresh for you in clip two, what he said today before Congress during his confirmation hearings, and he will be confirmed. Listen.
Many people do have religious views that are inimical to the public safety of the United States. I did not want to have a resolution that suggested that that could not be a factor in the vetting process before someone is admitted. But I have no belief and do not support the idea that Muslims as a religious group should be denied admission to the United States. We have great Muslim citizens who contributed in so many different ways in America, as I said in my remarks at the occasion that we discussed it in committee, are great believers in religious freedom and the right of people to exercise their religious beliefs.
You do know that his accent alone sends guys like Woody Allen on the Upper East Side of New York to their psychiatrist for medication. Just the voice of the actual cracker American. To them, they didn't hear a man speaking from America. A guy like Woody Allen heard Hitler, a Nazi, Goering, Himmler. Anyone, in other words, doesn't sound like speaking with a rising inflection from the jewelry district or from Hollywood, which is one and the same thing, just one generation later. The father sold diamonds and they sell less than diamonds. Anyone doesn't sound like them, they hate in New York. Now, here's Dianne Feinstein, who also hates Jeff Sessions. Now, you got to listen to the Queen of Hearts. This is a beauty. Oh, this is a beauty. This is a woman who ought to learn to keep her mouth shut. Because I'll tell you what's coming, DiFi. My guess is you will be investigated. You will be investigated for contract steering and self-dealing by the Trump administration. And that's why you do not want Jeff Sessions as Attorney General, do you? Here is Dianne Feinstein, who in the opinion of many, many very seasoned analysts is not fit for service. Listen to clip number 7.
He voted against efforts to prohibit the use of waterboarding and other so-called enhanced interrogation techniques, calling them lawful and praising Attorney General Mukasey in 2008 for refusing to rule out the use of waterboarding in the future. These interrogation techniques are and were, at the time, illegal. And thanks to a provision Senator McCain placed in the defense...
That alone is enough. Using Senator McCain as a reference is enough for me. Now, here's Dianne Feinstein, who has failed us on every turn. Failed as a senator. Failed us as head of the Senate Intelligence Committee. She's done nothing to stop one terrorist attack. She's not prosecuted one perpetrator of a terrorist attack nor investigated their origins or sources. And this woman has the audacity to get up there and attack Sessions. What do you think she fears? Okay, now, so what is she using? What cards is this demagogue in a skirt using? Well, she's saying he's for waterboarding, so therefore she's on the side of terrorists who would set off a dirty bomb in your town. Now she's going to bring up Matthew Shepard and James Byrd. She's now appealing to the gay community to show that he's anti-gay. Listen to clip 8. Listen to this one.
Senator Sessions voted against the Matthew Shepard and James Byrd Hate Crimes Act, which, among other things, expanded the hate crimes law to cover sexual orientation and gender identity. Arguing against the hate crimes law in 2009, he said this, "Today, I'm not sure women or people with different sexual orientations face that kind of discrimination. I just don't see it," end quote. Well, this senator regretfully sees it. Hate crimes are happening. The Department of Justice must
stop right
see
here.
It.
Yes, hate crimes are happening. A little white boy who was handicapped was brutalized just last week by 4 blacks. And you're talking about 2009, DiFi. You really ought to see your brain specialist. Okay. So you see why I don't want to do politics right now. It gets me angry. But I would say that the Trump administration should investigate Dianne Feinstein for a number of things. The LA Times years ago investigated her. This is a fact. This is a fact. The LA Times many years ago investigated her for her very cozy relationship with her husband's businesses, which are numerous, and her fortunes have risen phenomenally since she became senator. She went in of a certain wealth level and is now at a much higher wealth level, as is true for her sister, senators and congresswomen in the Bay Area and elsewhere. And she should really understand something here, that by attacking the incoming attorney general, she is showing not only bad taste, but stupidity of the highest order. And I would think that Jeff Sessions will remember that she attacked him in this way. And perhaps, just perhaps, she will not be riding so high a year from now. WABC Mike, on the other question of are there any atheists in a cancer ward? Mike, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you, doctor. Thanks for having me on the show. I am a 45-year-old with, I've had cancer 3 years ago, and I've actually been working in treating cancer for the last 20 years as a radiation therapist who delivered the radiation treatments, and for the last 15 years in medical dosimetry, which is doing the calculations for the radiation. So I like to think I've got a somewhat different perspective on all of that, having been on both sides of it.
No, well, so what's the answer? Are there any atheists in the cancer ward?
There are atheists in the cancer ward, and then you also have people who are angry that God would do this to them. The devout religious don't seem to understand the betrayal.
Ah, in other words, there are religious people who get mad at God for doing this to them. That's interesting. So what does an atheist believe in other than chemotherapy and radiation?
You know, I wish I could answer that question. I think mostly they just believe whatever will be. And it's sort of pragmatic from what I've...
In other words, so people become fatalistic at that point.
To a greater extent, I would say yes. I mean, they're the people who I have noticed in my experience that go into this without faith and maintain that lack of faith do have sort of a fatalistic way of looking at things.
Mike, do you think that your cancer developed as a result of your working around high radiation your whole career?
There were no genetic components when I had my testing done, but I've also never had any exposure to radiation as measured by badges that I've worn over the years. I had poor lifestyle choices, with eating bad food and being overweight most of my life. I'm sure that was a contributing factor.
So there's no leakage per se, even on an almost unmeasurable level?
A very, very low amount of leakage, but nothing that...
See, now, I want to talk with you as a radiation specialist. I've argued with dentists my whole life. Every time I would get a dental x-ray, they'd say, don't worry, it's less than a suntan. I said, I stay out of the sun. Or it's less than flying in an airplane, the dental x-ray. I said, I'm sorry, any radiation is... It adds. They're not separate, and they don't get absorbed. Am I right?
Well, radiation does get absorbed, and different parts...
No. I guess I didn't say it right. Yeah, it gets absorbed, but it's not lost. It accumulates. All radiation accumulates, correct?
Not necessarily. Depending on the tissue type that's being irradiated, certain types of tissue, the cells turn over every certain amount of time, and so you have repair. You have cellular repair, and you have tissue repair. Soft tissue.
No. What I'm asking you is, isn't radiation cumulative? Isn't radiation exposure cumulative?
In a way, it's difficult to explain because you don't.
No. Well, I happen to know medically it is cumulative. Whether your body absorbs it, it does not eliminate it. X-rays and all radiation, whether it be from the sun or from an X-ray or from flying in an airplane, is cumulative. The last I checked.
Well, yes.
But that's getting a little... Okay, Mike, thank you for the call. I'm not trying to cut him off. He made his point. He made a good point, which is that there are both atheists and non-atheists in a cancer ward. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Imam Ali Siddiqui attacked Jeff Sessions, calling him evil incarnate, and he repeats it over and over again, and the crowd mumbo-jumbos back, vowed this and that. He said he's evil. That's a fatwa, as far as I can tell. He is a Muslim from California, and he is involved in the liberation philosophy of Islam. Does that sound familiar? Liberation theology, you get it? Struggle for peace, get it? You know what we're talking about here? Now, you've heard about liberation theology with Barack Obama, haven't you? With Reverend Wright? So now you got it coming from the Muslims. Says that he studied at Cal Poly in Pomona. And he's a management scientist. Became a business manager for the North American Islamic Trust. Founding member of the Islamic People's Movement. Oh, boy. People's Movement. Founding director of the Orange County Interfaith Committee for Worker Justice. Imam Ali Siddiqui, Jeff Sessions, attention. Donald Trump, attention. Everyone on the president's team, attention. Imam Ali Siddiqui is now at the Islamic Center of Northern Virginia. And in front of a religious organization, he invested himself in the politics of the day, attacking the incoming Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, calling him evil incarnate. I need you to investigate this holy man and see if he violated the tenets of his nonprofit status, just as you would any preacher who did the same.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Well, I don't know what we're talking about. We're talking about the violation of 501c3 codes. Any public statements of position, verbal or written, made on behalf of the organization in favor of or in opposition to any candidate for public office clearly violates the prohibition against political campaign activity. Well, Imam so-and-forth called Jeff Sessions evil in front of his flock. It's up to the government to see whether he violated his 501c3 status, and we will have to wait and see. 855-407-282. We're also talking about x-rays. We're also talking about do people get religion at the end of their lives? Yes or no? I'm hearing both. But mainly it's because I was talking about an amulet that I found that I bought in Israel in 1978. I have it right in my hand, and I believe it has powers. Power, the power to bring God closer to me. That's what I'm saying to you. Now, what do we mean by it has power to bring God closer to me? What does that mean? What does a crucifix mean to a man who says that when he wears it, he feels protected, he feels the band of God around him, as a man from Arthur Avenue in the Bronx said in the first hour, and when he doesn't wear the crucifix, if the chain breaks and it's off his neck for a week during repair, he feels naked and unprotected. What is that? What does that mean? What does it mean to you? What are these things? Frank on WABC, 30 seconds or less, fire away.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. I remember about 20 years ago, my uncle came from Italy, and he had this medal of the Blessed Mother. He had the Pope bless it for me. And he said, you wear this here and never take it off. Well, about 2 years after he gave it to me, I got very, very sick, and I was bleeding internally, and I didn't know what it was. They rushed me to the hospital, and I'm laying there, and I heard the doctor said, he's gone. In a minute, within seconds, I saw the a woman dressed in black, and I was trying to reach out to her, and all of a sudden she turned around, and I saw the most beautiful face, and I heard the doctor said, he's back. And about a week later, I went to this church I'd never been to, and here I'm kneeling and praying, and I look up and I see the exact same face of the Blessed Mother, and I went to the bishop, and I said to him, what is this? What is the reason for this? He says, that is the blessed sorrow. The death. That's death, she said. And you lived through it. And I wore this medal, and I'm still wearing it for this day. And I'm blessed.
So you do believe in the power of an amulet?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
So in other words, you're a rational man, yet you believe in the power of that amulet, and you believe it saved your life.
Yes, I do. And I tell you, when I was 8 years old, my father gave me a dog, and I named it after my friend. His name was Theodore, and I named him Teddy. I didn't even have the dog 1 week, and he was poisoned. He died, my dog. And I loved that dog. It was an Irish setter. Hmm. I had to bury my backyard, and I had a little stone there, my teddy, you know? I love that dog.
Well, I have a little teddy right under my desk right now here in this rainy day in San Francisco, and my little teddy has been with me for 12 years, Frank. I thank you for sharing. That's an amazing call, and I don't think he's alone in that, by the way, because we have another caller right now. All the way across the country, from New York, we're going to Texas on the Savage Nation. KLIF, Lena, Line 8, what's your story about amulets? Please tell the story.
Yes, well, thank you for taking my call. I had, I still have black onyx and silver antique, because I was working in antique and collectibles, helping this older man who's passed on now. Anyway, I wasn't raised in any type of religion, and I was a heroin addict also, but I was one of them functional ones nobody knew. Anyhow, I would wear it all the time, and then there was a lady I babysat for, and she would read tarot cards, and then I had picked up the Bible, so I was like, no, you can't read my cards. But somehow she tricked me into touching one, and then she read it, and then she told me that that thing was protect the person that used to have it. And in retrospect, I had gone through multiple overdoses where they were going to just throw me in the river. And I'm not a heroin addict anymore. And they had told me I couldn't have children. And I was wearing it when I conceived my daughter, who I had my only pregnancy at 34 years old. My daughter's 14. I own a home in Orange County, California. It's paid off. This is absolutely impossible. And when she was a baby...
So wait, I'm losing the drift. You're saying this amulet. Where did you get it from?
My friend Jesse, who has passed away, but he was born in 1920.
But he gave it to you, in other words. What does the amulet consist of? What does it look like?
Black onyx, round, pretty, not too small, not too big.
You believe that this is your protector. This, how does it protect you? How does an inanimate object give you protection?
It's like the other person said, well, now I carry it in my pocket because it wore out the silver that held it on the chain. And so I put it in my pocket.
No, I'm asking you, what do you think it does for you, though?
It's like the way you explained it. It was, it brings me closer to God because I do read the Bible. I don't go to church, but I read the Bible. And
all right, I hear what you're saying. Well, that's what the rabbi said to me on the phone.
Yes,
which is that
what you do.
If you believe in God, no evil eye can touch you. If you believe, and you hear what I'm saying, that's it. If the evil eye, and this one, the one I have, the one from Israel from the 70s, it's an antique, has a fish on it. And in Hebrew it says, the blessings of Joseph, you are my son and the evil eye cannot hurt you. You are like the fish and no evil eye can get you. But then he warned me, do not flaunt your wealth or your success or people will be jealous of you. And he said, warn your listeners that when they get conceited, the evil can come to touch them. And he said, the next time they see a homeless person in the street, remind them that but for the grace of God, it could be them. That's what he said to me today. And he said he wanted me to give that message out to the audience. Lena, thank you for calling. And that's why I did that show today, mixed in with a little politics. But that's what we're talking about, okay? Danny is a fireman in New York on WABC. Danny, thanks for calling. What happened with you with an amulet?
Hi, Doctor. My uncle, a long time ago, gave me this metal rosary bead that he brought back. I believe it was from Lourdes. And you can wear it around your finger, or you can put it around your neck on a necklace. A lot of us firemen, we used to keep it in our helmets. We have a rubber strap around our helmet. We put, like, chocks to hold open doors and some tools sometimes. And, you know, I used to keep it in my helmet. And whenever I had it in my helmet, I just always felt like nothing was going to happen to me. And I've been in some very hairy situations. And I've gotten injured before, but nothing, you know, I've had incidences where I'll go right instead of go left. Like, I just felt like I had something. And the one strap broke, and I lost it. I couldn't find it. And I just really felt uncomfortable. I didn't really feel like even going to work till I found this thing. And I just was in a fire once, and I just totally felt a little different. I, without a shadow of a doubt, that I didn't have this with me. And, you know, life goes on. You just forget it. And then when I moved, I actually found it and put it back on my helmet. I got promoted. And I just, once I went in there, I can't describe the feeling. It just felt like, I mean, got promoted. I became lieutenant. And from that point on, going into a fire with my guys as a leader, I could honestly say I never wanted to go into a fire without that on my helmet. And
you know, but let's say there's a skeptic listening to the show, and there are probably many skeptics if they're hearing it at all. They'd say, ah, come on, he just believes it, so it's true. How would you answer that?
That's a tough one.
That's right. And here's the answer to that one. For all of you who are hearing the skeptics thinking in your own head, or who have a skeptic who's going to say to you, I heard that on the Savage Nation, he's full of it. Amulets mean nothing. It's, you know, he believes it, so therefore it worked. He touched his neck, which is hurting, and it got better. Big deal. Here's how you answer it. There is no answer to it. The answer is that faith is not the same as reason. That's why there is a word called faith. Faith is not reasonable. And the lack of faith is also not reasonable. Do I make sense, Danny?
Absolutely.
In other words, listen to what I just said. Faith is not reasonable. And a lack of faith is not reasonable either. So either you get faith or you don't get faith. Either you have faith or you don't have faith. And if you have no faith, you wind up like Meryl Streep or Woody Allen or the rest of them who believe in nothing but their own hubris. Thank you, Danny. That's the way it is. This is why we have such... I must say, you know, as much as we love our entertainers and we do all love them, when they actually step off script and they speak what's actually on their mind, we realize what shallow creatures they are. What empty, soulless beings they are. What emptiness there is underneath that beautiful face or that handsome man. The emptiness comes through when they speak off script, which is why we don't turn to our entertainers for philosophy or advice. We turn to our talk show hosts. Because I have a face for radio, as they would say, which is why I'm on radio. And we're talking about faith. We're talking about, I guess, the amulets and things like that. I got to tell you, I got to read it once again, because I'm not going to read it tomorrow. I'm not going to repeat this show ever again. This is it. This is a one-off. It came out of nowhere. I found the amulet in a house I cleaned out. It was sitting actually in an ashtray with other things. There were no ashes. And for some reason, it was saved. I bought two of them in Israel in 1978. And I remember my deceased mother, who never really was religious, but she touched it and she said, "That's powerful. What is that? Where'd you get it?" I told her in a marketplace from a Yemenite saleswoman. I don't remember. I have a blank. I had some souk somewhere in Israel in the 70s. I'm sure she was a Yemenite who sold it to me. But I do know that was odd about it. It was that it's ivory carved by hand, the letters, and there's a fish on it. And when the rabbi heard it, I called him this morning. He freaked out, yelling and screaming. "I can't believe it," he said. "This is this week's portion of the Torah." And he read to me what it says, the blessings of Joseph. "And you found it just for this week." He said, "Michael, you're a spiritual man." He said, you're so spiritual. I said, "What does it say, Rabbi?" That's what I want to know, because I don't read Hebrew. "You are my son, and the evil eye cannot hurt you. You are like the fish, and no evil eye can get you." And then he warned me, "Don't flaunt your wealth or your success, or people will be jealous of you, and harm will come upon you when you get conceited." And he said, "Tell your audience to look upon the people who are less fortunate today, the homeless and others, to realize that but for the grace of God and a quirk, that was it not for God's protection of them, they could be living in a cardboard box in the street." That's what he said to me. Isn't that beautiful? So, my friends, that's all I can say to you on that. I cannot repeat it again. I think what I'm going to do this afternoon, when the radio show is over later today, is take this over to a jewelry store when the rain stops, and I'm going to have a chain made for it. I'll get an antique silver chain made for it, and I'll become who I am, and maybe I'll carry it with me. And I'd be crazy to wear a thing like this underneath my undershirt. Could you imagine? It's a crazy thing, these amulets. You know, baseball players, aren't there pitchers who believe in certain things that they carry with them to help them pitch better? Aren't there people who go into a ring and they fight, they have some kind of amulet with them, something they believe in? What I've always wondered on, I got to take a break again. I get talking, I can't stop myself. That's why I'm in the right business. I used to love to watch fighters enter a ring, diametrically opposite corners of the ring. They get on their knees and they would do the cross and they would pray to God to help them win. And I'd ask myself as a child, wait a minute, they're both praying to the same God. How is God going to decide who should win this fight? It's always puzzled me, so I'll be back to talk about this and more on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
Back in a minute to talk about radical Islam. We'll be talking about the amulet story, the Golden Globes Awards, the worst things that Obama did, my website. But first, frankly, I got to tell you about this blood flow story that I've been telling you about for a few weeks now, because we all know that healthy circulation is critical, especially as we get older. Now, there happens to be a natural way to support healthy blood flow, and that's by getting enough dietary nitrates into your body, which convert into nitric oxide. Super Beets is the easiest way to get these natural dietary nitrates. One scoop in water or a smoothie and you're all set. This happens to be the secret to helping support healthy circulation and healthy blood pressure levels. And Super Beets works three times faster to give you results. You can feel it. Tastes good too, by the way. What's the bottom line? Blood flow, blood flow, blood flow. You should take Super Beets every day. You'll feel the energy and stamina it gives you within 20 minutes. And I want you to feel it. Believe me, call to action right now. I want you to call 800-481-0504. That's 800-481-0504. Or go to SavageLovesBeets.com. You got it? SavageLovesBeets.com. What are you going to get? 30 days free. Comes with your first order. Backed by a money-back guarantee. You're going to get a free book, Beat the Odds. Free shipping on your entire order. You'll love the results you feel with your first free canister. Well, what? You get your money back. You got it? 800-481-0504, 800-481-0504, or SavageLovesBeats.com. Joanne on WABC, fire away. We have only 2 minutes left in this hour.
Good evening, Dr. Savage. It's a pleasure to speak with you. I love all of your topics today, but time is of the essence. But I wanted to clarify, because I think I understood the point you were making about radiation being cumulative. What it really does is, the intensity of the dosage and the tissue that the radiation is targeting, be it therapy or, you know, solar radiation when it's causing damage to skin and melanoma, it causes cellular changes. And that is, in a sense, cumulative may imply that something is building up in its amount. But it is causing cellular change, and it is causing...
I think we need to clarify my statement.
Yeah.
There's no... You're a cancer RN. You know a lot more than I do about cancer and about radiation. But I happen to know the literature. And the literature recommends against quantitative estimation of health risks beyond a certain amount. A lifetime dose of 100 millisieverts is the maximum people should be exposed to. We're not talking about low-dose... you know, radiation. We know that it is cumulative, but it doesn't harm you. However, it collects, is what I'm saying. And so if you're being given dental x-rays, then you're going to be given an x-ray for a CAT scan, then you're going to fly in an airplane, then you're going to sit in front of a sun over there in the Bahamas or in Florida, you are taking a very high dose, probably higher than 50 millisieverts in that 1 year.
Do you have 2 seconds?
Well, I'm not worried about medical imaging at effective doses below 50 millisieverts or single procedures of 100 millisieverts for multiple procedures. I'm talking about a cumulative effect. That's all I'm trying to say. And, Joanne, we're flat out of time. I'll be back for another big hour across America. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Liberals who cannot believe the world has changed. The left is going crazy thinking that nothing has changed. They think that they're still in charge. They're acting as though Herr Obama is still running things and that they still have the Attorney General's office. They own the Justice Department. They own all the avenues and all the powers of government. They don't know that everything has changed. So now you have crackpot imams out there who are saying that Sessions is an evil man and this and that. He doesn't know that he's liable to be investigated now for violating his 501c3 status, because he is, in my opinion, possibly doing that, calling Jeff Sessions evil incarnate. And then, of course, Dianne Feinstein, who is on such thin ice, but she's such an old woman, doesn't even understand that she's not even skating on thin ice. She's already fallen through it, attacking Jeff Sessions before he becomes attorney general, when he just might investigate Feinstein for contract steering and self-dealing. You never know what can happen tomorrow when you've just lost an election. And today we wake up and see that Trump has just hired RFK Jr. to lead a safety commission. Trump has tapped vaccine skeptic RFK Jr. to lead the safety commission. Donald Trump has selected Robert F. Kennedy Jr. to chair a vaccine safety and scientific integrity commission, the vaccine skeptic told reporters at Trump Tower after a meeting with the president-elect. Now, I know much more about science than Robert F. Kennedy Jr. I know a lot more about science and about medicine than he does. Why Trump would accept this lunatic to be in charge of, I don't understand what Trump is doing. Kennedy Jr. has likened vaccines to the Holocaust. That's Kennedy Jr. Kennedy Jr. is the son of Bobby Kennedy and nephew of John F. Kennedy. Was asked what his political relatives would have thought of Trump. And I'm not going to read what he said because I'm not interested. I'm about as interested in what RFK Jr. has to say as I am in what Meryl Streep has to say. In addition to the vaccine commission discussion, Trump and Kennedy Jr., according to the Post, also talked about clean and solar energy. Kennedy Jr., a green energy advocate, visited Trump Tower Tuesday at the request of the president-elect. To me, they're steering this train off the tracks here. Who's ever steering Trump right now is taking it off the tracks. Sessions is great. RFK Jr. is a crackpot who doesn't belong anywhere near him. Now, why would he bring a guy like that into his inner circle? Can you explain this to me? What's going on with this administration? Who would bring a nut like this into the administration? A man who's opposed him his whole life. All right, that's the elevator. That's the tower. The tower goes, elevator goes up, the elevator goes down. So now they want leftist crackpots in there as well. RFK Jr. knows nothing about science and nothing about medicine, yet he's now going to be advising on science and medicine. You may as well hire a monkey or a deer to be on that commission as hire RFK Jr., in my opinion. All right, I made my point. Dylann Roof sentenced to death for church massacre. Dylann Roof did not get the proper sentence. Dylann Roof should have been sentenced to cruel and inhumane... Dylann Roof should have been sentenced to cruel and inhumane punishment for what he did to those black churchgoers. Dylann Roof should have been sentenced to the toughest black prison in the world, in the United States, and the guards given 1 hour off. That would have been the proper sentence for Dylann Roof. But then we don't live in such a world, do we? We live in a civilized world. Civilization and its discontents, wrote a very famous psychiatrist a number of years ago. And Freud was right then, just as I'm right here and right now. The phone number is 855-407-2282. Let's go back to the issue of amulets and whether they work or not. WDGJ Radio in Albany, New York. Ralph, line 3, what's your amulet story?
Hey, Michael, I'll make it real fast. A number of years ago, my best friend and business partner attended at a shrine a retreat given by Jesuit priests. At that retreat, I received in my gold cross, which I was wearing, received a papal blessing. About a year ago, same gentleman and I walked into a house on a business call. The guy jumped out from behind a door that we entered and shot me in the chest, blowing my center and lower lobes of my right lung apart. Second bullet, he stepped into my neck as I bent forward, pulled the trigger, and the chain holding that cross deflected the bullet out my back, missing my aorta by about a quarter of a millimeter. And although I lost 5 units of blood, I survived through prayer. But I remember As I was hitting the ground, two more shots, he killed my partner. There's a lot more to the story, but I won't talk about it now.
No, wait a minute. Ralph, you've got my attention. Wait a minute. You're a businessman. You go into a meeting, and a guy, who is the guy who did it?
The guy was a crackpot. He had a bad reputation, and it was obviously a setup. But I can't go into all the details, Michael, but it was a...
All right, I understand. So it was a business dispute gone crazy. He set you up for an assassination.
We were set up to go on a call because I was in a profession that, for real estate and other profession which required us to look at the real estate. And we all...
Ralph, wait a minute. How did this guy get stopped from killing the two? Who stopped him finally?
Well, he tried to put me in the trunk of his car, and I managed to take a swing at him, and I coughed. Blood went on his shirt. I fell down, and he tried to continue to shoot me, I put my hand up and said a Hail Mary out loud, and the gun kept misfiring, and a voice said, "Get to the road." So I ran to the road, and the first car went by me, but I stood in the middle of the road, and the second car happened to be...
Wait, you just said that you were shot in the lungs, and you were laying on the floor. How could you then run?
I got knocked out of the building on the second shot. The first shot, I bent forward. The second shot stepped into me, knocked me right out of the building. I hit the ground. He tried to drag me and put me in the trunk of his car, which is where I got a little bit of strength.
All right, so you believe that the chain deflected the bullet. What size millimeter? What millimeter size bullet was this?
32 copper jacketed bullet. The only reason I survived the use of...
That's right. Now, I was going to say, if you would have said 9 millimeter, I would have said you made the whole story up.
No, 32, and I used to reload. I know what it was. I could see that it was a counterclockwise revolving gun because I used to reload. I knew what he used, and I know why it jammed, because the second shot deafened me. That went into my ear. I lost the hearing in my right ear, most of it, and it was because it was a hot load. So then
But you believe that the papal blessed cross saved you from that death?
Prayer. I prayed to the Blessed Mother all the time that I played dead, and that's what saved me, Michael. I can tell you that right now. And
so my story today about my amulet did not strike you as crazy.
What did you say, Mike?
My story today about my finding this old amulet from Israel and telling my audience what this rabbi said it said on it did not strike you as odd.
I think that there's meaning to all these things. There's a message in all that.
Yes, there is, and I thank you. There is a message. There is a message. And I hope I followed the message, because there was more to what he said to me than just that. See, there was another side to it that the rabbi cautioned me about that I don't choose to read on the radio. He gave me the positive side, but he didn't give me... I didn't give you the whole story because that's sort of my business. Here's a new one coming out of the Sessions hearing. Sessions breaks with Trump, says he opposes waterboarding. He opposes waterboarding. He believes waterboarding is torture and illegal. All right. Well, I'm glad he said so. Does he really believe it, or do you just want to get confirmed? I could ask you whether you think waterboarding is torture. But what I've heard from the military is that almost all people who go into these areas of really dangerous combat situations where they're going to encounter the Islamic enemy are actually given waterboarding as part of their training. The Navy SEALs are waterboarded. They don't call it torture. They learn how to live with it. His stance that the law bans waterboarding could pose a problem for Trump if he tries to reinstate the practice. Okay, that's a big one. But to me, the biggest story is this. Sessions didn't really break with Trump. He merely cited current law. See, this is what the people don't understand. As chief law enforcement officer, it's not his job to agree or disagree with the law. His job is to enforce the law, whatever it may be, unlike Eric Holder, who didn't enforce the law. He made up the law as he went along. And secondly, laws can be overturned, and Jeff Sessions knows this. Right now, the Muslim terrorists think that we're soft morons, and they're working us like a two-penny clock. The fact of the matter is, the minute they step out and want to put a bomb in your mother's house, you shouldn't waterboard them. You should tear them apart with four horses, as far as I'm concerned. Four-quarter of them, as far as I'm concerned. If you want to find out where that bomb is hidden, get out the four horses and the four ropes. You'll find out where that ticking bomb is, I can guarantee you. All right, no one's interested. But okay, that's what's going on with the hearings now. We're a very passive nation, as a result of the passive-aggressive president that we still have. And
whether we remain a passive-aggressive nation with a passive-passive military is another story. I hope that Trump changes from a passive-aggressive military into an aggressive-aggressive military. I need a president who cares enough for our military to be a real commander-in-chief and turns it into an aggressive-aggressive posture rather than a passive-aggressive posture. That's simple. Well, soon Hussein Obama will be gone, and we will feel safer every night. We'll be able to sleep a little more peacefully. Because national security is one of Trump's main policy planks. Look at the people he's appointed so far. And by the way, let me tell you this. Jeff Sessions is as good as you're going to ever get for Attorney General. I don't care. Look, I don't like him appointing RFK Jr. to anything. If they put RFK Jr. in charge of toilets in Zimbabwe, it would bother me. He's a certifiable left-wing crackpot. He never should have been given a ride in that elevator. I don't know who advised Trump on bringing RFK Jr. into that tower today to give him that job, but whoever did it is an idiot. Which one of them did this, I'll never figure out. But they're looking to gain favor with the liberal establishment. That's all. There's a currying favor for personal and social reasons. No other reason whatsoever. This is a Manhattan thing. This is a social thing. This is a quotidian thing. This makes no sense. And you may say, well, he doesn't have any power. He shouldn't even be in there. RFK Jr. is a certifiable left-wing nut, a green energy fanatic, and to put him in charge of health and safety and science when the man believes all vaccines are going to kill children is insanity, by the way. Total insanity. Vaccines happen to save lives. Yes, there are cases, and I can cite them both professionally and publicly, where vaccines can injure and kill. I get that. But you don't throw out an entire area of modern medicine because of a few crackpots in the field who have distorted the knowledge in order to make a point. It's the same thing with global warming. Right now we're afraid we're going into a new ice age and they're still talking about global warming. It's now almost 18 minutes after the hour. Do you know that? I've got such good callers, and if you want to join the conversation, 855-407-2822. My website's michaelsavage.com. Coming soon to a bookstore near you is Trump's War, my new book. It was supposed to be on ready for you this Monday, for you to see the cover. Still not ready. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
I wonder if Donald Trump believes in amulets. I wonder how he got where he is. You think it's a result of an amulet? I doubt it. I don't know, though. I really don't know whether he believes in amulets. Maybe Melania believes in amulets. She's from Eastern Europe. She could have an amulet thing. I mean that in a positive manner. I just said I believe in the power of amulets. I don't know. I mean, you don't know which powerful people believe in what. Ronald Reagan had believed in horoscopes, didn't he? Didn't he and Nancy get read? Yes. So don't write all of this off as hokum, that it's all fake. You don't know who believes in what till you actually get to know people, what they believe in. Some are a pure, unadulterated atheist that believe in nothing. And so nothingness becomes their belief system, as I said. It proves you still believe in something. I've had that argument with atheists and always won. They say, I don't believe in anything. I said, good, so you believe in nothing. Therefore, that's what you believe in is nothingness. So you have a belief system. Which is interesting. So I don't know how people get through life believing in nothing. How could you go through life believing in nothing? How does a person go through day to day without thinking that there's a God in heaven and you're going to be judged at the end of your life? How do you go through a day like that? Well, how? Take a look at the Golden Globe Awards. You'll see how they go through a day like that. Every movie mocks someone who believes in God. I want to talk for 1 second. I only have a few minutes here. There's such little time and this and that. This whole thing with Russia is so absurd. They're saying they have evidence for sure that Russia tried to influence the election. Okay, I believe that. And you're telling me that Germany, France, England, and all of the Eastern European socialist nations, the nations that the British people voted to get away from, they weren't trying to influence the election in favor of Hillary? They didn't influence the election every which way to Sunday? How come we don't see an intelligence report on that, Mr. Clapper? These people are so empty in their statements, it's beyond belief. Of course Russia intervened in the election. They did everything they could to see Trump elected. They didn't want war with the United States of America, which they would have had with The Hague. The head called Trump a year ago Hitler. I remember it. I have the soundbite. She was trying to start a war with Russia a year ago. We just missed one of the greatest possible horrors of the world, which would have been a war with Russia as a result of the non-election of The Hague. So now you got her entire group of leftist fanatics, Clapper and company, and the Brennan, Clapper, all of the geniuses who couldn't stop one terrorist event. They couldn't do anything to stop a terrorist event, but they told us that Russia wanted Trump to win, and they actively did everything they could to help him win. Well, what did they actually do? They never changed one vote, did they? No. So what did? They try to influence the election? Oh, and Hollande didn't try to influence the election for Hillary, and Merkel didn't try to influence the election for Hillary, and the entire left-wing establishment didn't try to influence the election for Hillary, and I mean those in the left-wing establishment around the world. So what are you talking about? You talk about interfering with domestic policies and domestic elections. Didn't Obama send some minions over to Israel to try to overthrow Netanyahu? Of course he did. Of course he did, the party animal. In between partying and surfing, he had the time to send people over to Israel to try to make sure Netanyahu didn't win. I only wish he took his genius and tried to stop what's going on in Iran instead of trying to stop the Jewish state from surviving. That's what I wish. One day I'd like to wake up and see someone say that in the news media. No, you need more than an amulet to save this country. It was God's will itself that saved us from Hillary Clinton. And that man he chose is the imperfect man, Donald Trump. That is the reason I backed them so vociferously.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Well, an evil imam has attacked Jeff Sessions. I want to know who this evil imam thinks he is. He calls Senator Jeff Sessions an evil incarnated. Evil incarnated. Now, we don't know who this imam is. We know this. He has a name, Al-Siddiqui. We don't know where he came from. We don't know what country he's from. But we do know that he does interfaith experiences, working with Jews, Christians, Catholics, Mormons, Quakers, Buddhists, Sikhs, and other faiths in the area of community service. But it didn't stop this loudmouth foreigner from attacking Jeff Sessions before Jeff Sessions even began his work as Attorney General. The question is, why are Muslims so afraid of Jeff Sessions? Muslim imam attacks Jeff Sessions, calling him evil incarnated. Well, that tells you more about Muslim imams than it does about Jeff Sessions. Listen to this self-righteous fraud in clip one. Okay, hear it. Here's some politics.
We are not going to hide.
We are not going to hide.
We are not moving to Canada.
We are not moving to Canada.
We stand our ground.
We stand our ground.
And fight, fight, fight.
And fight, fight, fight.
For justice and equal rights.
For justice and equal rights.
Senator Jeff Sessions.
Senator Jeff Sessions.
He's no good for the nation. And I'm telling you my personal experience. I have met him. I talk with him, his pastor. He is an evil incarnated. And I say it again. Senator Jeff Sessions.
Senator Jeff
Sessions. No good for the nation.
Stand up and fight.
Every step of the way.
All right, listen,
way.
You third world. Listen to me carefully, you loudmouth fraud, you. I am demanding right now that the FBI investigate this Muslim imam. We have his name, Ali Siddiqui. And I want you, the new government of the United States of America, to immediately pull his 501c3 status and rip away the protections that this individual has in our country, because what he has just done here in stepping into the world of politics from his pulpit, brainwashing the Muslim sheeple in his audience there, is violate all the tenets of the nonprofit corporation that is afforded religious organizations. Ali Siddiqui must be investigated immediately by the new Trump administration. And if he has, in fact, done what I just heard him do, violate the separation of church and state that is called for, meaning do not engage in politics in your religious organization or you'll have your 501c3 status taken away from you, imam,
You're saying you're not going to hide, you're not going to fight, you're not going to move to Canada, and you're telling the people that he's no good. What you've just done is read a fatwa on him. Well, I can read between the lines, Siddiqui. You just pulled a fatwa on Jeff Sessions, and you've asked people to harm him. That's what you just did. Don't think all of us infidels are stupid. Now, he's entitled to his opinion, don't get me wrong. But if you do that while you are preaching in a church or a synagogue or a temple of any kind, you lose your nonprofit status, old imami. You should lose your nonprofit status if you did that in a house of worship that enjoys a tax-free status. My loyal sponsor, Craig Smith of Swiss America, the gold company, said your amulet experience is awesome. The reason you gave it away to your audience, in my opinion, is because anything you can't let go of, you don't own it. It owns you. Michael, you are a free, unencumbered person with a very free spirit. Therefore, your generosity gives it away. Therefore, you keep it without coveting it. You respect it. That is why, in my opinion, it has the power it does. That's interesting. Because I really was torn over whether to even tell you that story. But I am asking a loaded question, which is you. Have amulets played any role in your life? Do you believe that amulets have any power? Many of you don't. Many of you think it's garbage. I know many people are very hard-headed. They don't believe in anything. They believe only in themselves and their self-will. All right, good. Get back to me when you're an old man dying of cancer somewhere. And I hope it doesn't happen. When the muscles have faded, the tattoos are just a blur on your biceps. Tell me what you believe in. This is what I'm saying. You know, at the end of the road, it waits for all of us. God waits for all of us at the end of that road. And you know, the thing is, what are you going to believe in then? You know, I know the old statement, yeah. You know, there's no such thing as an atheist in a foxhole. We've all heard that. How many atheists are there in a cancer ward? But now, one of the reasons, going back to politics, that this imam fears Jeff Sessions, who they can't stop, by the way. It's done. He's veto-proof. Thanks to the evil Democrats who went around Congress with their little tricks, it's coming back to haunt them. Remember the old saying? They'll be hung by their own petard. Well, they're being hung by their own Obama. They're being hung by their own Obama right now because they used every trick in the book to let him use a fountain pen and a pad or whatever, or a BlackBerry, to get around Congress. They don't need 60. There used to be a 60 votes you needed to break a thing. No more. Now it's 51. So in other words, what they did, what goes around comes around. So one of the reasons this Muslim imam hates Senator Sessions is because he's tough on the terrorists. Here is Jeff Sessions today, fresh for you in clip two, what he said today before Congress during his confirmation hearings, and he will be confirmed. Listen.
Many people do have religious views that are inimical to the public safety of the United States. I did not want to have a resolution that suggested that that could not be a factor in the vetting process before someone is admitted. But I have no belief and do not support the idea that Muslims as a religious group should be denied admission to the United States. We have great Muslim citizens who've contributed in so many different ways. And America, as I said in my remarks at the occasion that we discussed it in committee, are great believers in religious freedom and the right of people to exercise their religious beliefs.
You do know that his accent alone sends guys like Woody Allen on the Upper East Side of New York to their psychiatrist for medication. Just the voice of the actual cracker American. To them, they didn't hear a man speaking from America. A guy like Woody Allen heard Hitler, a Nazi, Goering, Himmler. Anyone, in other words, doesn't sound like speaking with a rising inflection from the jewelry district or from Hollywood, which is one and the same thing, just one generation later. The father sold diamonds and they sell less than diamonds. Anyone doesn't sound like them, they hate in New York. Now, here's Dianne Feinstein, who also hates Jeff Sessions. Now, you got to listen to the Queen of Hearts. This is a beauty. Oh, this is a beauty. This is a woman who ought to learn to keep her mouth shut. Because I'll tell you what's coming, DiFi. My guess is you will be investigated. You will be investigated for contract steering and self-dealing by the Trump administration. And that's why you do not want Jeff Sessions as Attorney General, do you? Here is Dianne Feinstein, who in the opinion of many, many very seasoned analysts
is not fit for service. Listen to clip number 7.
He voted against efforts to prohibit the use of waterboarding and other so-called enhanced interrogation techniques, calling them lawful and praising Attorney General Mukasey in 2008 for refusing to rule out the use of waterboarding in the future. These interrogation techniques are and were, at the time, illegal. And thanks to a provision, Senator McCain placed in the defense...
That alone is enough. Using Senator McCain as a reference is enough for me. Now, here's Dianne Feinstein, who has failed us on every turn. Failed as a senator. Failed us as head of the Senate Intelligence Committee. She's done nothing to stop one terrorist attack. She's not prosecuted one perpetrator of a terrorist attack nor investigated their origins or sources. And this woman has the audacity to get up there and attack Sessions. What do you think she fears? Okay, now, so what is she using? What cards is this demagogue in a skirt using? Well, she's saying he's for waterboarding. So therefore, she's on the side of terrorists who would set off a dirty bomb in your town. Now she's going to bring up Matthew Shepard and James Byrd. She's now appealing to the gay community to show that he's anti-gay. Listen to clip 8. Listen to this one.
Senator Sessions voted against the Matthew Shepard and James Byrd Hate Crimes Act, which, among other things, expanded the hate crimes law to cover sexual orientation and gender identity. Arguing against the hate crimes law in 2009, he said this: "Today, I'm not sure women or people with different sexual orientations face that kind of discrimination. I just don't see it." End quote. Well, this senator regretfully sees it. Hate crimes are happening. God. The Department of Justice must
see. Let's
stop
right here. Yes, hate crimes are happening. A little white boy who was handicapped was brutalized just last week by 4 blacks. And you're talking about 2009, DiFi. You really ought to see your brain specialist. Okay. So you see why I don't want to do politics right now. It gets me angry. But I would say that the Trump administration should investigate Dianne Feinstein for a number of things. The LA Times years ago investigated her. This is a fact. The LA Times many years ago investigated her for her very cozy relationship with her husband's businesses, which are numerous, and her fortunes have risen phenomenally since she became senator. She went in of a certain wealth level and is now at a much higher wealth level, as is true for her sister senators and congresswomen in the Bay Area and elsewhere. And she should really understand something here, that by attacking the incoming attorney general, she is showing not only bad taste, but stupidity of the highest order. And I would think that Jeff Sessions will remember that she attacked him in this way. And perhaps, just perhaps, she will not be riding so high a year from now. Have race relations really gotten better under Obama? Yeah, no, he said that race relations have gotten better under him. He's rewriting his history. That's what they did in the Soviet Union. They rewrote history to begin with. So Obama gave a speech and that telling us what they actually did for the world in America. Where's the one of him saying, I just got to play that and get it out of my system. Here, I got it. Clip 17, before we go into the shooting again. You got to hear this to see the deranged man who's exiting the White House. Listen to this.
You know, I think that in some ways, like everything else, it's gotten better. And in some ways, I think we have surfaced tensions that were already there, but are getting more attention.
Where does he get these phrases?
Look, I came to Chicago in 1985 in the middle of council wars.
That's enough already. Okay, do I have to add words to that? Race relations have gotten better under my presidency. That's after the toilet water and the scalping of the handicapped white boy by 4 non-whites. Let's put it to you that way. I don't have to stir it up. All right, but you know what happened. Where they get the idea to do that from? How did it enter their heads that it would be okay to do a thing like that and put it on Twitter? Where'd they get, or Facebook, excuse me. Moreover, why didn't Zuckerberg's minions stop that from being put out? Why doesn't Facebook stop violence of that nature from being transmitted? Because why? It'll cut into his income. And he wants to be a president. Yeah, Zuckerberg wants to run for office. Maybe I should leave radio and become a consultant to all of the liberals who suddenly discovered they want to be politicians.
and they need an advisor as to how the rest of the world lives outside of their bubble. I could probably make five times the money I'm making in radio, but since I'm not doing this for money, I think I'll stay where I am. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
16 tons of information and entertainment every day. And what a pleasure it is to do so. I got to tell you, you know, some days I get weary. And some days I get very weary. And then other days I say, thank you, Lord, for giving me this radio show. Every day I thank God for this radio show. Remember, it goes back to the opening of the show about the amulet. You got to think sometimes, oh, in my life it's not good enough. Not good enough, not good enough. Why don't you consider what would be without what you do have? And think about what you'd have if you didn't have nothing. Let's say you didn't have what you have. What would you have? Would you be happier without that thing that stresses you out? Think about the emptiness in your life. Think about the stress that you don't like and how that stress is bothering you, right? Say, oh, it's too hard for me. Now envision a life without that thing that's stressing you out. Think about the void, the emptiness without it. All right, unless you replace it with something better, which is always a possibility, I suppose. That's why I was talking about amulets today. The blessings of Joseph on the amulet. You are my son and the evil eye cannot hurt you. You are like the fish and no evil eye can get you. That's what the rabbi told me this morning. If you believe in God, no evil eye can touch you. It's a protection. That's why people called and one man said he wears a crucifix and it protects him. Let's go up to Colorado Springs, Colorado, the home of the Air Force Academy. Soon to be the real Air Force Academy when Trump becomes president. They could take the unfly girls out of there and put fly boys in there. John, on KVOR in Colorado, line 9, go ahead, please.
I believe in that. I believe because I've had direct experience dealing with primary evil, and I can testify that amulets can and oftentimes do represent a form of spiritual power based on your faith.
Now, hold it. Are you a lieutenant colonel in the Air Force, as the board says?
Yes, doctor, I am.
Okay, so when you say you faced pure evil, where? In your work as an Air Force man or in your life?
Story. I had a near-death experience where I drowned and died prior to going into the Air Force. And so I've had many instances throughout my life where I've had to, you know, I've dealt with primary evil. Now, you understand the difference between primary and secondary evil?
No, I really don't. I would be facetious to say I do, and I'm unfortunately, Colonel, I'm almost out of time. I wish we could continue this dialogue tomorrow on the program. Would you be able to listen in the first hour?
You bet.
Okay, guys, get Mr. John's phone number, Lieutenant Colonel, about pure and secondary or primary and secondary evil, because I would like to continue this discussion tomorrow as well as the power of amulets or whether or not you believe in such on the Savage Nation, because as we enter this new era in America and the world, I can guarantee you everything's going to change in your life and you're going to need to reach out into areas that you may currently be extremely, let us say, uncomfortable with. I hope to be there for you. This is the Savage Nation. God bless America.